Warriors-Blazers Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals, a Thursday night clash at Oracle Arena. We're in the third quarter. The Warriors were down by 17 before storming back as Stephen Curry was leading the way, finishing with a game-high 37 points to go with 8 boards and 8 assists. Klay Thompson delivering 24 points on the evening with 4 trays. Draymond Green, tremendous energy and a 16-point, 7-assist, 10-rebound night with outstanding defense. Jordan Bell shining off the bench with 11 points, and Kevon Looney powerful in the paint with 14 points and 7 boards. With the series now shifting to Portland for games 3 and 4, the Warriors take a 2-0 lead, winning a thriller, 114-111 the final.
Steve, do you feel like you dodged a bullet there tonight?
Oh, totally. We stole that game. I thought they outplayed us for much of the night, the majority of the night. But you know, we brought enough competitive fire in the second half to overcome, you know, their great play. And we've been here before. I think our experience helped us. We've done this a few times, we stole it for sure. They outplayed us.
C.J. Peterson, San Francisco Examiner. Steve, that third quarter was a real turning point in this game. 2 years ago, you guys led the league in third quarter differential. You guys outscored your opponents by almost 5.5 points. Did it kind of bring you back to that season, the 2016-17 year? And how big was that third quarter, like I said, in your mind?
I was actually thinking of the 2013 year when that was happening. No, I'm just kidding. I wasn't thinking about any other thing but tonight's game. If you've been watching the NBA for a while or part of it, game twos scare you. If game one goes smoothly, game two is terrifying because human nature sets in. And I thought that was the case tonight. And they have 2 days to stew on the first game and make their adjustments. And so that's, that's something we knew was coming, but human nature doesn't allow you to bring the same level of fear and appropriate fear and respect and the edge that you need. And we didn't find that until the third quarter. And, we were down, I guess, 16 at half or 15. But the NBA game is a long, long game. There's so many possessions. And with our team, we always feel like we have a chance. And we kept playing, and our guys got it done. They were amazing in that third quarter and then down the stretch as well.
Standing up here, left-hand side.
Logan Murdoch, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve, you guys were down right here. You guys were down 8 with, I think, 4 minutes left, and Draymond kind of got it going. He got a block. He got a few passes. How would you describe his play down the stretch?
Draymond. Tremendous. He was in some foul trouble tonight, and I thought our bench really did a good job of keeping us in the game and allowing us to keep Draymond on the bench, late third, early fourth. We bought him some time, and then he came back in, I guess, around the 8-minute mark. And his defensive play down the stretch, Andre's play at the end there, fantastic stuff. And that's what it takes in the playoffs. You have to have multiple guys playing at a really high level. And obviously Steph was brilliant tonight. Looney was brilliant. And we got the defensive effort that we needed down the stretch.
Front row center.
Steve, Mark, Medina Bay Area News Group. Obviously, Steph and Klay have done this so many times before, but especially with Kevin out, what kind of leadership qualities did you see them showing throughout the game?
They just, they know who they are, and they know our team. This team's been together a long time, so they trust each other. And when they trust each other with the ball and the ball starts moving, that's when we're tough to guard. I thought in the first half we were taking some quick shots when we fell behind, and I thought in the third quarter we finally started to settle down, and Steph and Klay had a big part in that.
Second row, left-hand side.
Dwight James, NBC Sports Northwest. Steve, they had 18 made threes, and you guys had 9. It's very uncommon in this league for the team that makes the most threes, especially by that margin, doesn't win. Does that happen to your team very often?
It happened in the Houston series. I think there was a game where they made 17, Raymond.
Yeah, 17, that we made 9 or 8 ourselves.
Yeah, so it can happen. You know, it doesn't happen often in this league, but, you know, that's one of the reasons I said I felt like we stole it. I mean, they shot the lights out. They did a great job spacing the floor and moving the ball against our traps, and they got good shots. They got big performances from Seth Curry and Rodney Hood off the bench, and we dodged a bullet for sure.
Fifth row, right-hand side.
Hi, Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. So you talking about you stole this game. I mean, have you seen a walk-off steal like Andre Iguodala just had at the end there?
I think from Andre. You know, he's done that before. During my 5 years here, I think I've seen him do that a couple of times. He's an incredible defender because he's got, you know, the whole package between the athleticism, the length, but most importantly, the brain. He just understands his opponent. He understands the spots where the opponent is trying to get to, and quick hands to get a steal like he did on that last play. It was an amazing play against one of the best players in the league.
Fourth row, left-hand side.
Wes Goldberg with Forbes. There was a lot made of the coverages against Steph after he goes off for 36 points in game one. They adjust their coverages in game two. He scores 37 points, not necessarily off from the three-point line like he did the last game, but what are you seeing from Steph, and just can you talk about his game right now?
What do I think about what?
Just how he's playing right now in general, reacting to the defense the way
he
has.
Yeah, I mean, he's been on a great run these last few games. You know, he had a few games during the Houston series that weren't up to his standards. He would be the first to tell you that. But from, you know, from game six in Houston through these first two games, he's just been on a great roll. But that's what you expect from great players. You know, they might have a couple tough games, but they don't stay down for long.
Fifth row, middle.
Colin Ward-Henninger, CBSSports.com. Draymond obviously gets a lot of attention for his defense and his energy, deservedly so, but what does he bring on the offensive end with his playmaking and the way he pushes the ball?
Well, he's our leading assist guy, and, you know, the way people play Steph allows Draymond to be the playmaker frequently in our games because, you know, he just catches the ball out of the traps and then he's just a great passer, great decision maker, throwing the lob, throwing the cross-court passes. So he's, you know, he's a fantastic two-way player and a guy who has been just irreplaceable around here for a long time.
Far back left-hand side.
Steve Mindybach, ABC 7 Sports. Jordan Bell had a career night, especially in that third quarter. What allowed him to kind of finally get his game going?
Well, I think it's a good series for him. It's a good matchup. The way we're playing suits him. We need a lot of speed out there. And I think the last three games, you know, the game six in Houston and the first two games here, he's kind of settled down. He's been very comfortable, very relaxed. He's not in a rush, and he's playing good basketball, so he will continue to get minutes.
Second row, right-hand side.
Steve, Mark Schwartz, ESPN. Steph has talked about what it's like to face his brother in a situation like this on this kind of stage. They know each other so well. They have such feelings for each other. When you watch them go at each other tonight and the way that Seth knows and reads Steph, what's it like watching that dynamic of them trying to the game within the game best each other?
Well, I thought of their parents at one point. Can you imagine, you know, watching your two boys go head-to-head in a playoff game and both of them hitting huge shots? And it must have been an amazing night for Dell and Sonia and Sidel. It's an incredible story, you know, to have two boys in the NBA, but particularly in the conference finals playing head-to-head and knocking down all these big shots. That's must be fun.
Standing up, right-hand side.
Amani Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Steve, we got the news on Kevin right before the game started. I'm wondering from your point of view, first of all, what your reaction was to the news that he'll be reevaluated again next week. And second of all, is there a mental adjustment or anything from going from wondering if he might be back to thinking maybe he won't be back in this series?
There's no mental adjustment. It's just you just play. You just, you know, you go out there with what you have. And, you know, we've this is our third game, three and a half games, really, without them. So we're just trying to hold down the fort. And, you know, hopefully he continues to progress. And he has made progress, but, you know, it's a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning. So we'll see where it all goes. But he's in there all day long getting treatment. He's done a great job of committing himself to that process. Rick and his staff are in there all day. And hopefully he'll be back at some point, but we'll just wait and see.
Final one, fourth row center.
Tony Harvey, Sacramento Observer. Coach Kerr, game two. You're up 2-0 now. Now you have to go up to Portland. Game every other day. So what is your view, you know, going into game three?
Well, we're fortunate to be in the position we're in. We know we're going into one of the toughest arenas to play in the league. We've been in this situation many times, so we know how we have to play. We've got to play with great discipline and some desperation like we did for only parts of the game tonight. We got to play that way the whole game, and that's what it'll take up in Portland.
Tim Roy with Jim Barnett, and Jim just ran down the numbers for you. And I thought a couple of things, and you know, something to think. First of all, I thought the Warriors reacted well as the game went on to a different strategy from Portland tonight. They were bringing their bigs up a little higher, giving them some more airspace, and I just thought that they were reacting quicker to the double teams that the Warriors had shown them in game one, and it seemed like it got C.J. McCollum off to a great start that we never really got going again, and then later as the game progressed, Damian Lillard got going as well.
Yes, Tim, and in fact, the Portland Trailblazers played that first half as if they'd never been pressured in the first game at all, and because they were so aggressive in getting the ball into the front court and moving and getting things, the defense never had time to do it. They spread the court. I thought their spacing was terrific, and they had an incredible first half, scoring 65 points, and they'd already made 11 threes by that time, as you put the numbers down. And so the Warriors were behind the eight ball. The Warriors had to respond, and they did in the third quarter, and they jumped out to that 16-4 start in that third quarter. It was beautiful. And then, of course, Thompson and Curry combined for 24 of the 39 points in that quarter, and they started hitting threes. And their defense then got a little better right there. They played much better defense in the second half than they did in the first. You know, you combine the lead changes, and they were equally distributed in the third and the fourth quarter. There were seven lead changes in the second half. There were seven ties in the second half. That's how good the game was. And, of course, at the end of the third, the Warriors had made up all of that, that 15-point deficit, and it was tied going into the fourth. And then that's when the defense, I thought the Warriors, that was their best quarter of defense right there, because they won the game, Tim, in the fourth quarter without hitting a three. The Warriors did not make a three-pointer in the fourth quarter, but their defense was good enough, even though Portland made five threes, they were 8 of 23 overall. And the best players in the fourth quarter, actually, were Rodney Hood and Seth Curry. McCollum, their defense on him, he did not score in the fourth quarter. I thought it was terrific. And then Looney had a great fourth quarter. Bell had a great second half there. He just he was actually good whenever he was in at all. They did this also. Klay Thompson only had 2 points in the fourth quarter, but they moved the ball, and then once again, it's almost a duplicate scoring. I think they got 114. They had 116 in the first game, and they shot 50% first game, 51% tonight, and it's just almost a carbon copy as far as scoring. So they're able to score against the defense of Portland in both games, and you have to love a game where you give up nine more threes to the opposition and win the game.
Well, you know, the counter to that would be that, you know, the Warriors got outscored by, what, 27 from three?
Yes.
But they outscored the Blazers 24 in the paint. So they got it almost all back. And it was pretty obvious, Jim, that the Trailblazers were very concerned about the three-point line. Witness the baskets that were scored by the Warriors coming down the stretch.
Yes.
Layups. You know, they were really concerned about Klay Thompson and Steph Curry shooting threes, and that opened the door for those guys to dribble drive, or in Draymond's case, go pick and roll and go hard to the rim.
Yeah, and that's why Draymond ends up, one of the reasons, with 16. Once again, they got 30 assists in game one. They got 30 assists tonight. They move the ball like that, and they do so much better rather than dribble and trying to create your shot. I loved when, you know, the magnetic Curry or Thompson brings two defenders and you get a back cut to the rim. We saw several of those tonight. But the impetus to start that third quarter, you know, Curry made the first 8 points of that quarter. I think that was the changing of the game. It gave them a chance to get back in. And the next six were done by Thompson. He was 3 of 3 from three in the third quarter alone. And Terry Stotts had to call a couple of timeouts. And that just changed that third quarter, the start of the third quarter, changed the game, and it gave life to the Warriors.
Now, Jim, here's something to think about as we look ahead to Game 3 and Game 4 up in Portland. I just get the sneaking suspicion that Myers-Leonard is going to start to play a lot more, because I think Terry Stotts is okay with that pick and pop if Leonard gets a foul line jumper or a straight on three that he hit in the game as well.
Yes.
I think that's going to be a way that they're going to try to counteract the Warriors getting the ball out of the guard's hands. I'm I have no basis of fact for this. It's just a hunch.
Getting out. Okay, so Leonard and
say Leonard McCollum. Screens for McCollum, yep. Or Lillard, and
pick
then
and
just
pop.
Pick and pop. He's got to pick and pop. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that because he can knock it down. But I think the Warriors can survive that. I tell you what, I got to give credit to the Blazers.
Man.
There was no hangover from game one. They were night and day difference. Their energy level was just, it's hard to compare what they did in game one to what they came out in game two. I haven't seen it. Don't you think Portland by far had the lead in the game more minutes than the Warriors?
They did.
Tonight?
They did. Even though they have trailed throughout almost 50% of their games coming into this series in the postseason. But, yes, they led. They controlled things for most of the night. But when you're dealing with a championship team, there is something to that. You know, we never thought we would be able to see it for the Warriors because it was always happening to the Warriors. But when you've been in championship series or played deep in the playoffs, I think that there is something to that kind of experience that translates to big games.
Yes, and the inexperience there, the Blazers, they turned the ball over in critical times tonight. Second half, they gave up a lot of points. I think they gave up something like 16 points off of turnovers. The Warriors weren't very good early on with points off turnovers, and they were a little bit sloppy as well. But, the Warriors, they know what they can do and come back, and they had that another third quarter. We've seen that so often this year in the last few years, that third quarter run and the jump start, and it was a thing of beauty there. And all of a sudden, as I said, in the first, 4 or 5 minutes, Terry Stotts had to call two timeouts, and, the opposition when Curry and Thompson start going like that and it just all goes downhill for them, and you think, how do we stop the bleeding?
Well, Quinn Cook is down the floor. He's getting up some extra shots after games, which is what he likes to do. I asked him about it one time. He says this is something he's done since high school.
Yeah,
just come out and get some extra shots if he hasn't had his rhythm or hadn't had enough shots during the course of the game. And who knows, maybe Quinn Cook can hit a couple of big shots when the Warriors go up to Portland. And game three will be Saturday, 5:30, with the pregame show.
I'm surprised, Tim. I was just talking about Quinn. A long run for the bench tonight, even in fourth quarter minutes,
yep.
The early fourth quarter, the first 4 or 5 minutes. And, Looney's nearly 30 minutes tonight, but Livingston with 15 and Jerebko with 15 and Jordan Bell with 14 and Quinn Cook with about almost 10. So that's got to give them a little bit of confidence playing in the Western Conference Finals. In crunch time.
There were four players on the floor tonight between both teams who played 38 minutes or more. Care to guess who they were?
Say that again.
There were four players, count both teams, four players who played 38 minutes or more.
Well, I'd say the four guards.
The four guards,
two
you're
and
right.
Two.
Yes.
I told you before, it wouldn't be a bad idea to take one of these games and just have Thompson and Curry play two-on-two against Lillard and McCollum. A game to 40.
Well, I think maybe even when they get older in their careers, maybe we can turn it into a pay-per-view event produced by R.C. Davis.
They'll probably, the way things do, they'll probably do something.
Probably
like
do
that.
Something.
All right, Tim.
Thank you, Jim.
and throughout this series against the Trailblazers for extended audio coverage of the Warriors in the 2019 NBA playoffs. Download or stream the Warriors official team podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts by searching Golden State Warriors. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warriors Sound.